Yesterday morning sometime, I was sitting in my study in my library and preparing for this morning, and I'm sitting there and, you know, just kind of all of a sudden, this word came into my mind, and this theme came into my heart, and it was like I had to drop everything else I was doing and pick up this theme. And I confess, first of all, that I'm ill-prepared. If I was prepared, I still would be ill-prepared. It's a vast subject. There's no way in the few minutes we have to get very deep into the subject. But it is one of the themes and maybe the hallmark of the life of Christ. So let's pray, and then we'll look into these scriptures. Father, this morning again, we thank you for the wonderful privilege we have, blessed above all creation, that we can have a personal relationship with you. Lord, it's not religion, it's not the things that we do or something that we've earned, Lord, but we, by your grace, Lord, have come to embrace Calvary's cross. We've come to embrace this servant king who humbled himself and took upon himself the form of a servant and was obedient even unto death, that through that death we might have life as we humble ourselves and accept what you have done for us. O Holy Spirit, I ask this morning, Lord, that you would, Lord, just empower the weak and small and poor words that I try to formulate. Lord, that you would empower them. Lord, that you would speak to us, that we would get a glimpse of this wonderful Christ, Lord, who will take us away, Lord, for all eternity with one glimpse. Lord, you have stolen our hearts. Lord, what will eternity be like to gaze upon you? Ages upon ages to gaze upon you, never yet grasping all that you are. Holy Spirit, come and just move our hearts this morning, Lord. Whatever, wherever our hearts are, Lord, if there's hearts that don't know you, Lord, bring us in to the realization of what a privilege, what an access we have to you, Lord, how accessible you are through your Son, how you call us to come and worship you and give our lives to you, Lord. Father, if there is hurts or pains in our heart, that you would come, O Holy Ghost, and wash them away. Lord, if there is hardness in our heart, that you would come and break those hard-hearted places in our hearts, Lord, and you would put in Lord, softness and tissue that is sensitive to your touch, Lord. Come and have your way this morning, Father, and we thank you for this opportunity we have to worship you and praise you in freedom. Father, just come then, I ask, in Jesus' name and in his sake and for your glory. Amen. I want to speak on, you may guess, it's the subject that is, I don't know if, I may have spoke on it before. It's the subject of humility. It's humility. It is the root, in one sense, it is the root of all other attributes. I can be kind, but I can be kind in being proud. I can be proud of my kindness. I can pray, but I can be proud of my prayer life. I can fast, and I can be proud of my sacrifice. I can give to the poor, and I can be proud of giving to the poor. The Puritans preached much on the sin of pride, believing that it is the initial sin of all sins, and from it all other sins proceed. A man named Robert Cleaver Chapman, who was one of the leading brethren in the Brethren movement with J.N. Darby and George Mueller, said, don't focus so much on these other sins. Go for the king of sins in your life, and that is pride. And when pride has been dealt with, the rest of it will be straightened out. And pride is only dealt with as we die to ourselves, and the only life that we can put on is the life of humility. And by the way, there's, you know, I've got thousands of books in my library, Christian books, theological books. Finding books on humility are hard to find. You want to find them on demons? You can get them. Angels? You can find them. Holy Spirit, of course, which is good. Why not? He's God. Why shouldn't you find lots of books on the Godhead? Love, yep. Lots of books on love. Lots of books on faith. Humility. I found two in my library. That's not many for me. I mean, there's lots of sermons on them. And the book that I was drawn to, there's a book that's been actually, it's compiled by Spurgeon on humility. And the other one is a book by Andrew Murray. And you've heard me mention the book before. It's called Humility, the Beauty of Holiness. Humility, the Beauty of Holiness. And in that book, he mentions a couple things. He said that our salvation consists mainly of two things. And I'm going to have to stick close to my notes today because, like I said, I haven't had the prep time that I would have liked. Our salvation consists basically of two things. That is, one, being wholly saved from yourself. Isn't that right? Who needs the devil when you got you? Being wholly saved from ourself, our pride-filled, smuggish, self-centered, pampered, baby, self, self-loving self. Number one, to be saved from ourself. Number two, the answer to this problem is the humility of God received into our souls by His Spirit. The humility of God received into our souls and living resident there by the Spirit of God. If we look at Christ, all we can see really is humility. That's why I sang this song. Why I wanted to sing this song. All you can look when you see Him is humility. His whole life was a life of humility. Isn't it? I mean, when you think of Christ, just think of Him through the Gospels. All you see is humility. It was the hallmark of His life. You know, He spoke more about humility than almost any other subject, though we don't see it. If any man will deny himself, take up his cross. We might call it discipleship. We might call it something else, but it's humility is what it is. And let me get into some definitions. Humility, the place of entire dependence upon God. Humility is the place of entire dependence upon God. If God doesn't give it, I don't have it. Bottom line, total dependence upon God. If you look in Vine's expository New Testament words, he has humility is to, it's a hyphenated word, low lying, or lying low. It means to humble ourselves, to prostrate ourselves before God. It says in Romans 12:1, brethren, I beseech you by the mercies of God that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. A sacrifice is something that's been slain, that is dead, but yet now alive unto God, which is your reasonable service. This only makes sense that if we've seen a holy God, mighty, great, ineffably sublime, as the hymn writer said, infinitely powerful, infinitely holy. If we get a glimpse of Him, the only reaction is to lie low, to humble ourselves before Him. That's our only reasonable thing to do. He is the Creator. We are the Creator. Has anyone in here ever built something? Mike's built a few things. Has anyone here ever sewn something together? Alana makes purses. Vonnie's a seamstress. Right? Has anyone here ever cooked something? Okay? Are you greater than that which you cooked? Who's master of the cake? The cook or the cake? Is the cook greater than the cake? You make a cake, you make cookies. Who's the master? You know? A piece of clothing you sew together. Who's master? Who's Lord? Who made you? He made us. This is humility in the right. God made us. You know, every breath we breathe, there isn't oxygen in the world. We think that there's oxygen out here and we can breathe oxygen. Oxygen is borrowed to this earth. It's the only planet that has it. And it's been borrowed to this earth by God. And at any moment, He can take it away. And it's gone. We think trees produce oxygen. Photosynthesis. They don't. God put something within a tree that can help do that. But at any moment, He can stop that process and we'll be choked out. Everything we have is from our Creator. Every sparkle, every slight reflection of godliness is His. It's not ours. There's nothing inherent within us that is godly except for God. Deep calls to deep. Goodness. Nothing in us is good. Nothing unless it's God's goodness. Everything. See, we don't realize it. What paupers we are. And so when Jesus built the ladder on his sermon, on the Sermon on the Mount, which is a sermon to what? To Christian people, to his people. It's a sermon of what they look like. It's a sermon for their help. When he built it, he put the first rung low to the earth so everybody could climb on it. He didn't start with blessed are the pure in heart, because it might be tough sometimes to reach that, because sometimes our hearts go astray on us. But he started with this one. Blessed are the poor in spirit. We can all reach that rung, can't we? And thus climb the ladder of the Beatitudes. Blessed are the poor in spirit. So I'm just touching the fringes of the subject of humility. So the definition again is the place of entire dependence upon God. Pride is the absence of humility. It is the root of every other sin, pride. And we all have it. We all have it. So the blessed sense, this is Andrew Murray's definition. The blessed sense, and I added that word, the blessed sense of entire nothingness, which comes when we see how truly God is all, and in which we make way for God to be all. This is humility, is the blessed sense of entire nothingness, which comes when we see how truly God is everything. And he's all in all. And then we make a way for God to be all in us. This is humility. See, God only moves in humility. You cannot have more of God. You cannot have more of the Spirit of God functioning in our life than we are humble. Because pride will always drive him out. Pride will take first place. Every thought that, I want my way, it's pride. It's humility. And again, I've got so many verses on it, we're not going to look at them. Andrew Murray said, pride must die in me. Pride must die in me, or nothing of heaven can ever live in me. So let's look. I'm going to go quickly. I had 6 points here. I don't know what I was thinking, because I never get through 6. I'm lucky to hit 3. But I'm going to mention 6 points. The first one was Adam was created dependent. Now, I do want us to look at it. We'll look at some of the verses, and we can't look at all of them. In Genesis chapter 1, Adam was made perfect. And in that perfection, he was made dependent upon God. Remembering that dependence is one of the definitions of humility. It's the place of entire dependence. You know, Adam was born naked. How about you? Pretty dependent, aren't we? I mean, what do you have if you're born and neglected? You know, if Kezia would have been born and just left out in the lawn, how long would she make it? And yet as Christians, we try so hard to live on our own, don't we? We're always putting ourselves first. We're always trying to do things on our own. But here's Adam. We're going to read in chapter 2 first. In verse 7, chapter 2 and verse 7. And the Lord God formed. The word in the Greek means to form as a potter. He got down and he formed Adam with his hands. Okay, and the Lord God formed man of the dust of the ground. Okay, what are we? Us pride creatures. What are we? Just dirt. We're dust. Really? We're an earthen vessel or a clay pot, depending what version you're reading from. That's all we are. Man, we're proud of that, aren't we? We're dirt. Hey, where'd the dirt come from? Nothing. Came from nothing. God said, let there be earth. Boom, there was earth. So what did we come from? Nothing. We better be careful. So this is, he formed man of the dust of the ground. And then was the man, did he have any life in himself? No, he didn't. But what happened? God breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and he then became a living soul. Listen, our life is totally dependent upon the life of God. Unless God gives us what we need, we are in trouble. And as Christians, everything that we have, every attribute as a born-again Christian, everything we have, is it comes from God. It is a piece of God. It is part of who God is that He gives to us. And it's a grant to us. It's not that we've earned it. It's not that I've transformed myself into a holy being and now I'm holy. I'm not. It's the holiness of God in me. And I want to die to myself that the holiness of God can come through me and be and live in me. It's that this holy seed that God has placed within us. Everything in the Christian life. I hope I remember to come back to it. I saw videos of some of these huge redwood trees, these giant redwood trees, 300 feet high. You know that everything that is in that tree came from a little seed one time. Isn't it? Hundreds of years ago, a seed fell into the ground, and from that seed germinated this huge tree. But that tree has nothing in it that wasn't in the seed. It didn't grow an apple because there wasn't an apple genetics in the seed. It didn't get anything that wasn't in the seed. Okay? As a Christian, we have nothing, Christ in us, but what is in the seed. It's all from Him. Everything we have is from Him. Let's grow up into Christ, into all things into Christ, who is our head, because He's in us. And so, you know, this is the wonderful thing. So here's Adam, and God just makes him of nothing. And He breathes into him the breath of life. How is he going to live like God? By living off the breath of life that God has put into him. How are you going to be a Christian? By living off the life of Christ within us. Enthroned within us. Living off the Christ within us. Not something out there, not going on some holy pilgrimage or whatever, but by living off the holy seed, which is Jesus Christ. It's the Spirit of God within us. We must live off of this Spirit. And so this is how man was formed, by the dust of the ground. And he was dependent. In chapter 1, then just to go up to chapter 1 and verse 27. And so God created man in His own image. So what are we to look like? God. In the image of God created He him. Male and female created He them. That was interesting. Just aside, I don't know where we were going someplace. And we were talking. I said, and I don't remember who I was with. And I said, the husband and wife were there. And I thought, just think. When Adam was there, Eve was in him. It'd be like you and your wife being one body, you know. Isn't that weird? Because the female was in this body and the male was in this body and it was just called man. And then God separated. But isn't that weird? Wow. Talk about being deep. Because men are deep and women are deep, you know. And they were both in one being at one point. Wow, that's amazing. Verse 28. And God blessed them. And He said unto them, be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowls of the air, over every living thing that moves upon the earth. And God said, behold. Okay, how are they able to do this? Behold, I have given to you. Adam didn't go to some horticultural school. He didn't go to management training school. God said, I have given to you this authority. I have given to you this ability. I put within you the intelligence to do these things. Of Himself, He had nothing. He was born completely dependent upon God and even naked. And it was no big deal. Totally dependent upon God for everything. And God says, you know what? This is really good. At the end of the chapter, this is very good. God said to be dependent upon Him. So that's the first thing. Adam was created dependent. Of course, then we know that Lucifer comes into the picture in chapter 3. And we don't have time to go there. But if we went to Isaiah 14, it talks about Lucifer said that I will raise my throne above the throne of God. And he started to consider himself. He started to look at himself. You know, I'm really something. I'm gorgeous. I have a lot of ability. I've got a lot of power. Not knowing that everything he had came from God. He thought it was his, inherently his. Nothing we have is inherently ours. It's given to us by grace from God. And so he started to look at himself and he said, wow, I'm really something. And I'm not going to settle for where I am. I'm going to raise my throne up. I'm going to sit on the throne of God. I want to be like God. And instantly he fell. Boom. Because he was no longer dependent upon God. He wanted what? Independence. What do we want? Independence. That's why we got 401s. That's why it says in the Bible, the love of money is the root of all evil. Not money, but the love of it, because we think money will give us security and money will give us independence. Only God can give us that. We are to be dependent upon Him. We're dependent upon Him for every breath we take. We're dependent upon Him. If our lungs ever work again, we're dependent upon Him. So, you know, it's just we complicate things so much. And brings the more we try to do things for ourselves, the more anxiety comes into us. That's why, and again, in Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount, take no anxious thought for your life. Don't do it. You know, consider, he said, consider the birds. Have you ever seen a sparrow building a barn? No, you haven't. He said, look at Solomon and all of his glory. Look at him. Solomon, all his glory. And he talks about his robes. Now, if you take one of Solomon's robes and you put it under a microscope, you know what you see? Disorder, if you would have. Disorder, it looks like burlap, blown up under a microscope, just fuzzy little things kind of crisscrossing, and it looks really disorganized. And he says, but one of these lilies, Solomon's never been arrayed like one of these lilies. You take one of those lilies that God created, what do you see? Blow it up under a microscope, what do you see? Perfect design. Perfect design. He said, now, aren't you worth more than these things? So we aren't to be anxious about them, but that's what happened. So Lucifer rebelled because of pride. He was not content with his situation. That's what happens. You look at yourself and say, you know, I could be better. Why is he doing that and I'm not doing that? Why is blah, 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 blah? And we're not content with our situation. There's, you know, a book by Thomas Watson called The Art of Divine Contentment. Just to be content, because Lucifer was not content. here's a quotation. When now the fallen angels began to look upon themselves and consider themselves... Okay, notice the steps. When the now fallen angels began to look upon themselves and consider themselves, pride led them to discontentment and disobedience and then rebellion. That's when they began to consider themselves. Pride can degrade the highest angel. Pride can degrade the highest angel into a devil. Lucifer, you know, he was the son of the morning. He was one of the great ones. And pride took the highest angel and made him into Satan, into the prince of devils. Pride can also destroy us. And it does. It destroys the image of God in us. But humility can raise fallen humanity to the throne of angels. Fallen humanity can raise to the throne of angels. Know ye not that we shall judge angels? What amazing. That's what humility will do compared to pride. So that's what happened in Lucifer. Then, of course, man fell and Satan came with this pride and this discontentment and this. He's so big on himself and what he should have. And so he comes and with his same poison, he whispers the poison into the ear of Eve. And she drinks of the poison, lets it into her heart. And Satan says, well, God's just trying to keep something from you. Look at the struggle of self in there. God's trying to keep something from you. And she believes him, and Adam falls for it, and he disobeys God. Eve was deceived, but Adam willingly disobeyed. To please his wife, he disobeyed, and so they fell. And what was it about? He said, you shall be like gods. Isn't that where Lucifer was? The poison of pride went into their veins, and they said, okay, we want to be like God. You know, and so you look at some of the crazy stuff going on through Christianity. Some of the stuff going on in the name of God. People want to be like gods. It isn't going to work. God will share His throne nor His glory with any. Pride must die in me or nothing of heaven can live in me. So my fourth point was, and again, I have to hurry. My fourth point was that Jesus was complete humility. He is the essence of humility, was He not? It says in Hebrews 10 that when He came into the world, it is said of Him, I come to do Thy will, O God. It's an emptying of Himself. I didn't come to do my will. I came to do Your will, O God. That's what it says about Him. I've come to do Your will. We all want our will. We all want our way. Let it die. Let God have His way. And that's what He said. In Philippians chapter 2, it's maybe the best picture for us. And it's so familiar to us. But let's read it. Philippians 2, verse 5. Because now we see the dependence of Christ. Let this mind be in you, which was also in Christ Jesus. What was his mind like? who being in the form of God, that is the exact perfections of God, he didn't think that he was being robbed to be equal with God. He didn't think that there was any robbery to be equal with God. But he made himself of no reputation. He took upon himself the form of a servant and was made in the likeness of man. I mean, we have no idea what this humility looked like. We can read it, we can sing about it. No idea what it meant for God to become man. And you know what? Jesus is stuck with a body. He didn't have one, but he now has one. So when the scriptures say, "This day have I begotten," it's talking about him having a body, because he never had a body before. He was a spirit, just like the Father. But now he has a body, and through all eternity he'll have a body to identify with us. Isn't that something? He didn't become an angel to identify with the body of angels. He became a man, and he still will be a man in heaven. We have the man, Christ Jesus, for all eternity, a man, so he looks like you. So he looks like you, and he looks like you, and we can identify with a man. And this man was beaten up, and he will have the scars of his body forever for us to gaze upon, to bring us to humility and wonder and awe of what a God that we have. And so being obedient, it says, he became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. He is the picture of humility. Again, I can't stay there, but there's so many examples we could just go through it. I've come not to do my works, but the work of him who sent me. The words that I speak, they're not my words, they're the words of my Father. He's in the garden, not my will, but thine be done. All the way through, he's saying that. All the way through his life, he's saying those types of things. All the way through, I've probably got 10, 12 verses on there where he's saying those things. And then, you know, his life taught humility. Blessed are the poor. A familiar one to you, Matthew 11:28. Come unto me, all ye that are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Learn of me. Why learn of me? What is he like? For I am meek and I am lowly. And if we learn meekness and lowliness, he said, you'll have rest in your hearts. Quit struggling. Quit fighting for things. Just, you know, give up. Just love Jesus. It's not giving up and being a doormat, but it's just letting Jesus be everything to you in your life. Just let him be everything. Just be nothing and let Christ be all to you. Don't worry about the other person. Just be all to you. Again, I've got 10 verses here. He said, whosoever will humble himself, God will raise up. One of the, you know, and it just goes on. Whosoever exalts himself shall be lowered, but whoever lowers himself shall be exalted. And so it goes on. If I then, John 13, if I then am Lord and Master, you've called me right, I am Lord, I am Master, but if I am Lord and Master and I've done this, what should you do? You know, and with him first and then with others later. So humility is our salvation. Christ's humility became our salvation. If he would not have humbled himself, we would have no salvation. His humility became our salvation. And if I have his salvation, I should have his humility. Because of all things, he was humble. He was humble. He was filled with humility. Number five is then the disciple. What should then the disciple be? Dependent and obedient on the Lord. Seeing God as he really is, as my creator, I am but the created. There is a great difference between the piece of cloth and the tailor. And I mentioned that to you before. There's a difference. So as a disciple, I see he's the master. Humility, this is another definition by Andrew Murray. Humility is a nothingness in myself which leaves God free to be all. Okay? Humility is a nothingness in myself which leaves God to be all to me. And, you know, we think that, oh, well, I can't be nothing to myself because then I won't have any, what? Fame? That's pride. Position? That's pride. Oh, I can't be nothing because then nobody will notice me. Okay, what's that? Pride. Oh, I can't be nothing, just nothing because, yeah, but you see, when we make ourselves nothing, God becomes all to us. The way up is down. And we're built wrong. You know, from the fall, we're built wrong. And Adam was prone, even in his creation, to that, because they said, hey, raise yourself up, you'll be better off. And they believed it. The poison had entered, and they believed it. And that's what let's raise ourselves. No, that's not the way the Christian is to live. It's we to be nothing, that God may come in and he can be all to us. In our prayer closet, just humble ourselves before God. Lord, you just be all. Just get me out of the way. Salvation must deal with me. getting rid of me. So that's the disciple. And again, I have these verses. You know, it's said different ways in the Bible. Talk about dying to self. For me to live is Christ, to die is gain, Paul said. I mean, it's those same things. Putting off the old man, putting on the new man. It's the same thing. It's just different words of being humility, being filled with all humbleness. You can't die to self if you're not humble. You can't do it. You can talk about putting off the old man and all those things and be proud of the doctrine, and you missed it because you're not. It's humbleness. It's just wow. It's the Spirit of Christ, and it's just there. Lord, make me humble. Just make me humble. What a blessing it can be. And I've got here the twofold mark of the believer is that his roots are striking into true humility. The true believer, my roots are striking down into true humility. They're sucking of the moisture of true humility. So his roots are striking in true humility, deep into the grave in the death of Jesus. Okay? That's humility. My roots are going way down into the depths of the death of Christ. Romans 6. That's where my roots are, and I'm feeding from that moisture. But, okay, the other thing is that my head is lifted up through the resurrection of Christ onto sit in heavenly places with Him in heaven. My roots are down here in the death of myself, death of self, humility. And as my roots drink from this humility, from the cross of Christ, know ye not that as many as are baptized into Christ were baptized into His death. And our roots are down into death to self, the humility of Christ. Just, Lord, You just be everything. And my roots are drinking from that. He'll lift our heads up to be seated with Him in heavenly places. That's where we want to be. This life is very short. So what if I go through life unnoticed if God knows me? Isn't that pretty good? You know, there's some that thought they were really something, and Jesus said to them in Matthew 7, "Depart from me because I didn't know you." I didn't know you. That's what it said in Matthew 7. And then the last note I would have had was the believer's exaltation. He that humbles himself will be exalted. In James 4, God gives grace to the humble. And finally, in the last one, I'm going to read this from 1 Peter chapter 5. I know I've gone through these really fast, but true humility raises us up in God's estimation. God gives gifts to those that are empty. And so in 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 5, 2 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Okay. I'm sorry, 1 Peter 5, okay, verse 5. There isn't five chapters in 2 Peter, unless you got an amplified. Kidding. Okay, 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 5. Likewise, you younger, submit yourselves unto the elders. Yea, all of you, be subject one to another and be clothed with humility. Why? God resists the proud and gives grace to the humble. We want more grace? Be humble. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God. Isn't that interesting? We're humbling ourselves under His mighty hand. Under the mighty hand of God. Why again? That He may exalt you in due time. And that brings anxiety to us. Oh, if I'm nothing, then what? Well, He tells us here, casting all your care upon Him. Because He's the one who will then care for you. If I will lower myself into nothingness, God said, I'll take care of that person. I'm going to look after him who was a contrite heart and who was humble. I'm going to look after this one. I'm going to take care of this one. So as we humble ourselves, empty ourselves, become nothing, He says, I'm caring for that person. For God cares for him, and He cares for you. So there's my challenge, and we're going through it fast, but I trust that it's been a challenge and a blessing to you. It is only in the possession of God that we lose ourselves. As we possess God, really possess Him, we lose ourselves. Any man who says he's filled with God and is filled with self, something's wrong. Just something's wrong. If someone says, wants to introduce you to a godly man, the first thing you want to look for is humility. That's the stamp of Christ-likeness is humility. If the man is filled with pride and he's arrogant, depart from him. There's something wrong. And like Paul said, I would rather glory in my weakness. You know, humility being weakness. I've got this thorn in the flesh. I've been beaten more than any man. I've been tortured. I've been stoned. I've been deserted by everyone. Doesn't matter. I'm going to glory in my weakness, because then Christ is everything. So let's close in prayer. Father, thank you for this wonderful morning that we've had, Lord, with dedications. Lord, we want to commit our lives to you. Lord, dedicate our lives afresh to you. Lord, that the humility of Christ, the humility that comes only from God, in fact, the humility that is God, would rule and reign in our hearts through the Holy Spirit. Lord, that you would teach us to be lowly. Lord, to be poor of spirit and to be lowly. Lord, that you would teach us just, Lord, to humble ourselves in your presence, Lord, and let that humility, Lord, really be a part of who we are, not something transient that comes and goes, Lord, because we are no greater than our humility that is created by you, Lord, that comes from you, Lord, that is part of who you are. It's the essence of Christ in us, is humility. So, Lord, have your way amongst us, and just thank you for these young ones, that these infants that we could dedicate today and their families, Lord. We thank you for each one that's here, Lord, and we confess, Lord, that we are nothing, but you are everything. So we just give ourselves to you, God, and you love us, Lord. We thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.